You're listening to the Household of Christ podcast. Be encouraged and inspired as we dive into God's Word.
You know, sometimes you read a Bible verse that you know that you've read 100 times and suddenly something stands out. Have you had one of those moments? I had one of those moments this week on the scripture that I'm going to preach on. Often we're aware of God and even sometimes aware of His presence. But how often do you think and meditate upon the excellent glory of God? Peter was at the Mount of Transfiguration when Jesus was there, Moses was there, Elijah was there. And he saw the glory cloud that was here. And the Bible records, Peter writes about this in 2 Peter 1 verse 17. He says, "For he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." And when I read this, I realized that when God speaks a word over you, it's from the realm or a position of excellent glory. Turn to the person next to you and say, "Excellent glory." You know, the word excellent, the root word is the word excel, is to go beyond or not be ordinary. Glory already is something that's not ordinary, but when it speaks about excellent glory, it's just telling us from how God operates. When the Bible says God does far more abundantly, exceedingly above whatever we could imagine or think, it's not that God is doing something special. He's just being God. Excellent glory is where God functions, where God lives. Heaven's atmosphere is excellent glory. Amen? When man sinned, what does the Bible say? All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But Jesus came to restore glory back to us. And any man that starts to seek the kingdom of God, His righteousness, His glory, will experience it. Were you aware of God's glory, God's presence during worship? Excellent glory? Amen. It changes you. When excellent glory rests upon you. In the book of Nehemiah, he says when he went to the king, he was aware of the good hand of the Lord that was upon him. When we talk about this excellent glory at the Mount of Transfiguration, there are certain things that you can know. It's real. It manifested. Amen? So you can feel it. You're aware of it. But it brings transformation into your life. So if you are seeking the excellent glory of God, be ready to be changed. Be ready to be transformed. Amen? You can see the good hand of the Lord is upon somebody when they are busy with God assignments. Nehemiah, Ezra, all of them were busy with God assignments. And when God had stirred it in their hearts and they went in the full blessing of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, you can see the good hand of the Lord that was upon them. It says in Ezra, because the good hand of his God was upon him, verse 10, for Ezra had set his heart to study the law of the Lord, to practice it and to teach his statutes and ordinances to Israel. Can I just show you quickly? He purposed in his heart to study the word of God. That's reaching up to know more about God. Amen? To practice it means reaching in. I'm going to do it. And to teach it to others, that's reaching out. Amen? There's a secret. We spoke about secrets earlier on. Secrets in here. Reaching up, touching the heart of God. Reaching in, allowing God to touch your heart. And reaching out, touching the heart of a community. Amen. So the Bible gives us the strategy for successful living. When you study the Word of God, what does Joshua 1 verse 8 says? It says, the Word of God should be in your mouth. To meditate upon it. To observe, to do it. Then God will make your ways prosperous and He will give you good success. Amen? So even if you have nothing and you start to meditate upon the Word of God, it's in your mouth and you start to declare what the Word of God is saying about you, about your family. I know the thoughts I have towards you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. When it's in your mouth and you start to meditate upon it, and now you start to do it, observe to do it, God will make your way successful and very prosperous. That is the kingdom way. Amen? So when you see the presence of God in somebody's life, it's almost like their life is marked with God's presence. Think about a David pitching up, delivering sandwiches. But because God's presence is with him, he kills a giant. Amen? So God's presence is the very thing that brings change into our lives. When you are walking in the power of the Holy Spirit, when you are aware of his excellent glory, things will start to change in your life. God does not just want to bless you. He's speaking a blessing from excellent glory. Turn to the person next to you and say, excellent glory. You know, Jesus said something very profound in John 17 when he's praying for you and for me, because that prayer is for future disciples as well. He says, Father, the glory that you have given me, the excellent glory you have given me, I have given them. When excellent glory comes into your life will change. Think about the Mount of Transfiguration. Transformation will take place. Amen. Turn to the person that you say, your life is about to change. Think about this. The one who sits in excellent glory speaks a word to Jesus, the word who became flesh, manifested, and we could see its excellent glory. And he now, in agreement with the Father, declares glory over you. Family, listen to me. As Christians, we've got no excuse not to change. We've got no excuse. If you are seeking God's face, let me show it to you. Jacob. You know, I love Jacob. You know what Jacob's name means? Jacob was a deceiver, a schemer, like some of us, always scheming and making plans. Let me see, who's the operators, always making a plan? Yes. But he's called the Jacob generation. Why? Why not the Esau generation? Because Esau had everything together. Esau know how to walk. Esau is the guy who goes into the field. He finds the little buck. He kills the buck. He skins the buck. He cuts the meat in the right cut. He prepares the stew, takes it to his father, and he loves it. Jacob, only thing he can do is a vegetarian little boyki. But he's such an operator that even when his brother is hungry, he steals his birthright from him. That his brother purposed in his heart and say, if I find you, I'm going to kill you. So, he has an encounter with God. Genesis 32 verse 26, it says, I will not let you go unless you bless me. He says, I'm pressing into excellent glory and I'm not going to let go, Lord, until you bless me. Who of you are seeking blessing? Let me see. When you seek blessing, be ready to change. Because let me tell you something. The blessing that you seek, the healing that you seek, the deliverance that you seek, the breakthrough that you seek is not the end. You say, if I can just have this breakthrough, it will be the end. It's not the end. It's a means to an end. The end is a lasting relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, the giver of blessing. When people are seeking healing, when people are seeking deliverance, when people are seeking breakthrough, what are they really seeking? They're seeking Jesus. So this is what happens to Jacob. He comes and he seeks a blessing, but he meets with Jesus Christ. Amen. And what's the first thing that's going to happen? When you meet with him, his name changed. God changed his name from deceiver, supplanter, and he calls him Israel. Amen. He was a heel grabber. Have you ever grabbed somebody by the heel? You know, South Africans are big heel grabbers. You know why I say that? Because we don't always allow the sun to shine over somebody else's head. When they're getting ahead of us and they're going to win, we think if they win, we lose. And we grab them by the heel so that they must fall. We should change that mindset and change our name. That when somebody is blessed, we are happy that they are blessed. Because when they're blessed, we're also blessed. and not have a mindset anymore that if somebody else wins, I lose. Why do you lose if they win? If they win, you also win. Because the church is then blessed, the community is blessed, and all of us can be blessed. Turn to the person and you say, change your way of thinking. So this is what happens to him. Number one, his name changed. Some of us, our names have to change. Number two, what happened? His identity changed. If you go to Isaiah 12 verse 3, it says, in the womb he took his brother by the heel, and in his maturity he contended with God. Yes, he wrestled with the angel and prevailed. He wept and sought his favor. He found him at Bethel, and there he spoke with us. This guy was a serious operator, but he got to a place where he met with God, and everything changed in his life. So the second thing that happened, his identity changed. His identity changed. Amen? When your identity changed, your behavior changes. Everything about you starts to change when your identity starts to change. Amen? Turn to the person next to you and say, your identity must change. So he's no longer a deceiver. He's no longer a schemer, but he puts his trust in God. That's why the Bible talks about the Jacob generation and not the Esau generation. Esau placed his trust and his confidence in himself. But Jacob got to a place where he said, I'm putting my trust in God. You know what's the second thing that happened? His walk changed. Because when he was wrestling with God, remember, God touched his socket, his hip. His walk changed. Not only does your walk change, where you walk to will change. Some of you are walking to places that does not have God's excellent glory's approval. But we say we are Christians. When you have an encounter with God, your walk will change. People that are filled with the Holy Spirit, they walk differently. People that have a God assignment, they walk differently. And God will touch you so that your walk will change. The fourth thing that will happen, your authority will change. Before this experience, he was scared of his brother. His brother was going to kill him. But after this encounter, he had confidence to meet with his brother. When you have an encounter with God, the things that used to scare you, make you run away, you'll walk towards those things and face them in the power of the Holy Spirit. Turn to the person next to you and say, excellent glory. And here's the last thing, how you know when somebody has been filled with excellent glory. Remember what you said before the service when you turned to the person next to you and you said, I can see Jesus in you. Remember you said that? When you are filled with excellent glory, when you look at people, you can see Jesus in them. God will give you new eyes to look at people through heaven's perspective. Amen? Genesis 33 verse 10, for I see your face as one sees the face of God. When he looked at his brother, he said, I see your face like the face of heaven. I see your face like the face of God. Can you see God in people? Can you see Jesus in people? Turn to the person next to you and say, you're made in the image of God. Tell them, I can see Jesus in you. I see him in your eyes, and I hear him in your voice. It's filled with excellent glory. Think about it. When God touched him, his name changed, his identity changed. God gave him a new authority. He walked in a new way, but he could also see things in a different way. Oftentimes when you face difficulties, somebody that you think will kill you, you need heaven's view and heaven's perspective on that situation so that you can walk in what God has planned for you. Can I say this? Excellent glory does not always mean the path will be smooth. Excellent glory just means God will help you to get through it. The Bible says about Jesus, for the joy, for the glory that was set before him, he endured the cross. Excellent glory will empower you to get through the cross, to get past the difficult times. Excellent glory will help you to see beyond the pain, the path that is not smooth, to the end result that God has planned for you. Then to the person next to you, say, excellent glory. You know, Jesus had to go to the cross. Why do we need the cross? Because the cross deals with your flesh. Because flesh cannot receive excellent glory. Can I have an amen? See, this is the problem in the church. We want excellent glory. We say, God, we want your Holy Spirit. But we're just going to live the way that we want to. The Holy Spirit is for vessels that's been made righteous by the blood of Jesus. Can I have an amen? Amen. We want more of the Holy Spirit. We want more of His excellent glory. Go read Philippians. It says, in the same degree to which you die is the level that you will experience resurrection power. So we want resurrection power, but we don't want to kill the flesh. Go read Galatians 5 verse 19. You'll see what's the work of the flesh. Turn to the person next to you, say, you're a spiritual being. If you have an encounter with God like this, everything about you will change. I can tell you now, when God's really working in you and the Holy Spirit is in you, upon you, you cannot walk to certain places anymore. Because if you go there, your conscience will tell you, you don't belong here. Can I tell you something? Do you want to be a good Christian? Do you want to be a good Christian? Listen to your conscience number one towards God. Conscience towards God, number two, conscience towards the people around you. If you say, Lord, make me aware of that, the Holy Spirit will speak to you. If I'm walking and I'm suddenly, I bump Hendrik out of the way, the Holy Spirit will say, that's rude. Make me go back and say, I'm so sorry. Am I talking to the right people here? We want to be Christians, then we have to be led by the Holy Spirit. Can I tell you something? You want this kind of excellent glory. From Scripture, it's very clear that this excellent glory is only reserved for sons and daughters of God. It's not something cheap that's out there for everybody. Yes, there's a glory in the world, but it's not this excellent glory that comes from above. 2 Peter 1:17, it says, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. He spoke from excellent glory and said, this is my beloved Son. This is for sons and daughters. I love this. That means God is aware of you. You know, when people pray, let me hear you pray. Say, precious Father, position me to attract your favor and excellent grace. Help me, Lord, that you would be interested in whatever I say, whatever I do. Amen. So we pray that prayer. The natural mind thinks that God is positioning me now and moving me, that I would be at a place where God is interested in me and what I'm saying and what I'm doing. Am I right? The spiritual man knows. He who knew no sin became sin so that I can become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. When you are positioned for God to be interested in whatever you say and whatever you do, you are positioned in Christ Jesus, the one who God is well pleased with. And when you are positioned in the righteousness of Christ Jesus, guess what? The eyes of the Lord are now upon the righteous. And His ears are attentive to their praise. Why? Because they're in covenant with God. Am I talking to the right people here? That's why you confess with your mouth, you believe with your heart unto righteousness. It's not those who confess, but those who believe that God has made them righteous. Can I tell you something? When God speaks from a position of excellent glory, it gives you a boldness and a confidence that your prayer life will change. Joshua 10, verse 12. God spoke to Joshua and says, go into the promised land. Remember, he's waited 40 years for this glory to manifest, to go into the promised land. Because of disobedience, they did not go in. And now God says to him, go in. Everywhere where you're going to put your feet, I'm going to give it to you. And he says, let's go into this promised land and go and conquer. So here they're in, busy conquering. He's busy with the God assignment. And he sees, oh my word, we're going to run out of time to do what we have to do today. Turn to the person next to you and say, excellent glory. And this man does what no man has ever done in the history of this whole world. Joshua 10 verse 12. Then Joshua spoke to the Lord. In the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, sun, stand still over Gibeon. And moon in the valley of Ajalon. So the sun stood still and the moon stopped till the people had revenge upon their enemies. Is this not written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and did not hasten to go down for about a whole day. And there has been no day like that where the excellent glory of God manifested, before it or after it, that the Lord heeded the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. Why did God listen to Joshua? Because Joshua listened to God. That's covenant relationship. Go and conquer. Think about it. Just think about it. The creator of the universe who made everything listened to Joshua. And when he said, we're running out of time, we need another 18 hours or 24 hours to finish what we have to finish. Have you ever had a day like that? Have you had a day like that? Weeks like that? I don't know what God did. If he just said, stop, or maybe he stretched forth his mighty right hand and grabbed the sun and said, wait. But the sun stood still. From excellent glory, God heard, and it stopped. This teaches us a few things. This is one of the shortest prayers in the Bible. He basically said three words. Sun, stand still. This teaches us, when you're in covenant with God, and excellent glory by the good hand of the Lord that's upon you, when you are busy with a God assignment, you don't need long prayers. It's how much excellent glory is in that prayer that determines the outcome. It's not how long you pray, but how much faith is in the prayer that you are praying. Sun, stand still. When your prayer is backed by excellent glory, there's a force from heaven that will come to see the fulfillment thereof. Sun, stand still. And up till today, nothing like that has ever been recorded again. But it's a man who walked in covenant with God, who obeyed God's voice, and God obeyed his voice. Galatians 6 verse 7. God is not mocked, whatever man sows, that he will reap. Amen? Turn to the person next to you and say, God listens to you when you're in covenant with him. There's so many things that I can say about excellent glory, but let me just say this. You are seeing a fraction of what God is doing. You're seeing a fraction of what God is doing. Ephesians 3:20 teaches us that God does far more abundantly above whatever we could think or imagine or dream, according to the power that works in us. God is always going to do more because that's how excellent glory works. You ask one thing and God is busy with 10 things. You know what excellent glory teaches us? You are praying and trusting God maybe for 3 things right now in your life. Let me see who's trusting God for at least 3 things in your life. The truth is, I think it's John Piper that says, when you think God is busy with 3 things in your life, God is busy with 10,000 things. 10,000 things. He's busy sending angels for next week's problems. He's busy stretching forth his mighty right hand for darkness that wants to come against you 2 years from now. And he's working on different levels because he is in a place of excellent glory, wanting to manifest excellent glory into your life. You know, God can allow, when you need 48 hours to do what you want to, God can allow the time to stand still for you to do in 1 day what takes other people 2 days. Or for you to do in 1 week what takes other people 3 months. Because that's the way that God operates. Amen? Turn to the person next to you, say, be a person of excellent glory. Can I tell you something? Excellent glory is not just something you do, it's who you are. It's a spirit on the inside. We as a church, when you walk in here, you experience excellent glory. Am I right? Can I tell you something? We didn't have excellent glory when we built this building. We had excellent glory when we were in the school hall. Yes. Every Saturday, we would wash the hall, polish that floor, clean it. Matter of fact, once a year, we would get professional people in to polish those tiles that it looked like a mirror. When you looked into it, you know those mirrors when you see your face go like that? That was the floor. Excellent glory that we did in the school hall. Everything. The children's church classrooms, teachers wanted us in their classroom because we would pack out everything to the side, wash and clean that floor, and make sure that it's excellent. Because that's the place where God functions from, excellent glory. It's a spirit. You can have one set of clothes. My dad taught me this. You can have one set of clothes, but make sure it's clean. You can have one set of shoes, but make sure it's polished and shining. It's not one day. Somebody can have an Armani suit and not have excellence. And his jacket is like this and the tie. Am I talking to the right people here? Don't say one day when I have a lot of money, I'll be excellent. No. Excellent is a spirit. God is an excellent spirit. And he speaks from excellent glory to manifest excellent glory into your life. You know what God says? He says, one puts 1,000 to flight. Two, 10,000. But when two or three come together in excellent glory, whatever they ask will be done. Then all things become possible because excellent glory is busy manifesting. So let me close in this. To excel means to go beyond. We sit with a generation that wants to do the least, but have the maximum results or rewards. God doesn't operate like that. His spirit always helps you to go beyond, to not be ordinary, to stand out, not to boast, but to give glory to God, to say, this is the Lord's doing, this is the Lord working. Amen? So God wants to take you from where you are to where he wants you to be. Maybe you facing some challenges or difficulties. You know, sometimes I hear people say, I'm the only one being kind. I'm the only one praying. I'm the only one helping. Am I talking to the right people? Have you ever felt like you're the only one? You know what the Bible says when one of the men of God says, I'm the only prophet left. The Lord said, you're going to say to excellent glory, you're the only one. Let me tell you something, buddy. I've got 7,000 others just like you. Am I talking to the right people here? I'm the only one working long hours. I'm the only... No, no, no. You're not. If you believe this word of God, there's 7,000 others that God has empowered like you to do the same. Some of you are not looking happy with that. Let me just see. Where's the only ones? You know, those of you, the only one doing good, I'm very happy because sometimes, you know, you meet with friends or family or something like that, then they will tell you they're the only one with this rare sickness. Declaring that over themselves. That's not excellent glory. When excellent glory manifests in your life, your thinking starts to change. The way you think about things. Colossians 3 verse 1. Just go there quickly. Let me just show. Sorry, that's not part of the sermon. This is a special bonus scripture for you. Amen. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above. Think upon things which are an excellent glory. Not everything that you see around you. Hear around you. Where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above. Set your mind on excellent glory. Not on things of the earth, the glory of this world. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Turn to the person next to you and say, God has planned glory for you from the beginning. Paul said, Romans 11:4, and do you remember how God replied? God said, no, you are not the only one left. I have 7,000 others besides you who still love me and have not bowed down to idols. Maybe you are wrestling like Jacob with God. Anybody wrestling with God about something? Come on, just be real. That encounter is about to change your life. Amen? When you wrestle with God, light will shine into your situation. Glory will manifest into your situation. But if you are wrestling with God, be ready to have a name change. What people used to call you, think about Jabez. Even though his name Jabez meant he who causes pain, now suddenly he who caused pain caused joy and happiness because God blessed him abundantly, enlarged his territory, was with him, kept him away from evil, that he would not cause pain. So your name might still be Jabez, he who causes pain, but when you have an encounter with God, you'll start to do the opposite. Am I talking to the right people here? So you might be wrestling with God. But Jacob, when he wrestled with God, there came a time. It was during the night time that he wrestled with him. What does the Bible say? Joy comes in the morning. And this scripture, I love it. Genesis 32, verse 31. Read it. Now the sun rose upon him. The sun rose upon him. Just as he crossed over Peniel, and he was limping on his thigh. Can you see this? Light limping. God's strength manifesting in our weakness. Our brokenness being touched by the light. Jesus, who manifested, became the Word that became flesh. And when it manifested, we could see its glory. Am I talking to the right people here? You know, if you are wrestling, you're having a pineal moment like what Jacob had. And you think, God, what is going on? Paul said very encouraging words to all of us in 2 Corinthians. He said, and he had said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I rather boast about my weakness so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Family, whatever you are going through, whatever difficulty you are facing, like Jesus faced the cross, his excellent glory is there to carry you through it. When your identity is in Christ Jesus, your behavior will change and you'll find yourself busy with a God assignment to do what God has called you to do. Wrestling with God will result in excellent glory that will manifest and change everything concerning you. Can I say this? Don't admire excellent glory. Seek it. Turn to the person next to you and say, seek it. Sometimes we look and say, oh, look at that glory. Look, seek it. Don't fear excellent glory. Receive your place in it. Don't cheapen excellent glory. Pay the price so that you can have it. Glory comes with a price. The Holy Spirit is here today. It's free. It doesn't cost us anything. But it's not cheap, but it costs Jesus Christ his life. There's always a price to pay. Amen? God speaks to us from excellent glory. A matter of fact, excellent glory is reserved for sons and daughters. And when you know that you're in covenant with God, may God allow you to hear in the Spirit God the Father speak from excellent glory over you, and say, this is my son, this is my daughter, in whom I'm well pleased. Allow the glory of God to manifest in your life. Yield to it when it starts to work on you, to change your name, to change your identity, to change your authority, to change the way that you walk, but most important, the way that you see other people. Glory is what God predestined and planned for us from the beginning. When he taught his disciples how to pray, Matthew 6, he said, pray in this manner. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. What heaven has planned, excellent glory, whatever is in heaven, let it manifest here on earth. When you pray, expect excellent glory to manifest. See you love.
Thanks for listening. Visit www.hoc.org.za to learn more. Household of Christ, loving God, loving people.